You're listening to Soundside. I'm Libby Denkman. Let's talk about food. Emergency benefits from the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, also known as SNAP, ended last week. The change in federal law affects more than 500,000 households in Washington, representing a loss of about $95 million a month in food assistance. The reduction hits even as food and housing costs are increasing. Researchers at the University of Washington and Washington State University have been tracking food insecurity in the state since the COVID pandemic began. In a study published last week, they found food insecurity was highest in households made up of people of color, families with children, and among renters. In Washington, the additional pandemic assistance added an average of $171 per month to families' food budgets. With that boost gone, more people will need to rely on already straining local food banks, which have been helping to fill that gap since the pandemic started. Joining us now is Christina Wong, the Director of Public Policy and Advocacy at Northwest Harvest. Christina, hi, welcome.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Northwest Harvest has a network of food banks across the state. What does that network look like?
Well, we provide nutritious food to over 400 food distribution partners. A lot of our partners are kind of concentrated in the greater metro areas in King County and Snohomish County, for instance, but we have partners in every county of every state, actually.
Can you walk me through what a visit to a Northwest Harvest partner food bank looks like? What do people experience when they come through the door?
Well, every program, of course, has its own policies and intake, but what we really encourage of our partners is to emphasize accessibility and meeting people where their needs are. And that includes the kinds of foods that they expect and want to see on their food bank shelves. And so when somebody walks through the door, there's usually some sort of intake process, usually to check about if they are eligible to receive federal commodities that are part of the array of foods that are provided by food banks. When it comes to Northwest Harvest's food, however, we have a longstanding core value that food should be given to people who show up and ask for help without any additional questions. And so even though an individual program that receives food from us might ask for some basic information and identification, if for any reason they are not eligible to receive all the foods that program has available, they shouldn't walk away empty-handed and they should be able to get the food that Northwest Harvest has provided.
How were your food programs faring before emergency SNAP benefits expired?
Before the end of the emergency allotment started at the beginning of this month, we actually have been hearing from partners of seeing longer lines at their doors, anywhere between 30% increase to even double what they were seeing before. That's not unprecedented. That is actually a trend that we saw coming out of the last recession, where the peak in need actually hit us at a time when most people are perceiving us as being in some sort of recovery. And that's because people may be able to find jobs, but at the end of the day, their wages aren't enough to make basic needs, make ends meet at the end of the day. It's also been compounded of late due to high costs of food, high costs of gas, and other costs of living. All of those are putting constraints on individual household budgets, and people are having to make really difficult choices that we wouldn't want people to have to make.
So what I'm hearing you say is there was already this elevated need because of inflation, because of the pandemic, economic issues. And now what's been happening? It's only been a little over a week since the SNAP benefits expired. Are you seeing an impact at your food program partners?
I think it's been too soon for us to tell about seeing impact. And especially if we look at what normally happens each month, when people have their SNAP benefits allotted to them, depending on when they apply for benefits, we stagger the allotment benefits. But when people get their benefits issued to them, then they are usually able to go to the store, buy what food they're able to afford on that budget, and don't rely so much on the food bank. I think what's really concerning to us is that with the end of the emergency allotments, that is less grocery money in that household budget. And when so that means that those benefits are going to be used up even more quickly, especially with food costs being as much as they are. I think there was a study that came out over this weekend that said that food prices alone have increased another 12% since January.
Yeah, I'm seeing it when I go to the grocery store for sure.
Absolutely. And so I think our concern is that we're going to see the impact of this as people have more quickly spent down their benefits and starting to see it, seeing a hunger cliff, really, even more than what we were seeing before.
So as that month goes on, food stamps are used up more quickly at the grocery store, and folks will have to turn to the food bank more quickly. And I imagine that's going to hit hard when you're already strained. Are you doing anything right now to brace for that? Or what is happening right now at Northwest Harvest as you're looking at that hunger cliff approaching?
Well, one of the things that we are really grateful to the Washington State Legislature for is that some of our champions in the House, Representative Mia Gregerson and Representative Tim Ormsby, really heard this concern from community advocates and responded with a bill called House Bill 1784, which is really intended to be a targeted food package that, if moved quickly through the legislature, or what's called early action, could mean that money is available to state agencies and that can be put into existing contracts and moved into communities. So if they keep up this work, the House just passed this bill unanimously last Monday. It's now been referred to the Senate. And if it moves to the Senate quickly and onto the governor's desk, then hopefully we could see resources in community as soon as April.
So this bill would move $28 million from the state's general fund to shore up the low inventory at local food banks and support other food assistance and senior meal programs across Washington state. It sounds like you're optimistic that that's going to move forward. Unanimous support in the House is a pretty clear message from legislators.
Absolutely. I think this is something we're pretty grateful about Washington state recognizing that food is essential for health, and that food is also something that people rely on every day. It can be that catalyst for stabilizing other crises. And if we can put those resources in communities on the ground, getting it onto family household tables, it's certainly not going to be a substitute or backfill for the loss of the emergency allotments. I mean, we're talking about a loss of almost $100 million per month in food assistance benefits. And this is $28 million that is, as you said, money going to food banks to restock shelves, as well as support senior programs. Also supporting programs that when you spend your SNAP or food assistance dollars on fruits and vegetables at participating grocery stores and farmers markets, you get matching dollars to stretch those dollars further. It's not going to be a replacement for it, but it's certainly going to be helpful for us. We are particularly grateful for the investments in those senior nutrition programs and those SNAP match programs, because that's another way of, we can't fully stock food bank shelves, but we can take down some of the need and demand for food banks by boosting up resources that people can use before they come to food bank doors.
You know, inflation has made everything more expensive, from the food itself to the gas for trucks that deliver it. What are you finding from Northwest Harvest clients is the most pressing need right now?
We've been hearing, really, at the end of the day, it's needing support for both food and housing. There's actually a new study that came out from the University of Washington, Washington State University. It's called the WA Food Study. They've been periodically doing surveys of, it's not the same as population level data. It is really looking at some of those most vulnerable households, lower income and households in communities of color. But what they reported as far as their greatest challenges for helping to meet their survive and put together their basic needs, they cited the cost of groceries and housing are really the top most concerns.
Christina Wong is the Director of Public Policy and Advocacy at Northwest Harvest. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
The state's food safety net was already stretched thin before the loss of nearly $100 million in SNAP benefits. Now the legislature is looking at making up just a fraction of that loss. And food pantries across the state are bracing for a hunger cliff.
we're probably going to see more of the families that were using those benefits coming to every one of our rural pantries. And for them, some of those most tiny pantries, even a couple extra families is a lot of food.
Paige Collins is executive director of the nonprofit Council on Aging and Human Services based in Colfax, Washington. They coordinate several nutrition programs in Whitman County. She says their pantries have already seen a big jump in demand recently as grocery, gas, and rent bills have climbed.
When you're a pantry that normally serves 20 and now you're serving 40, that's a big deal.
Paige says the pandemic lessened the rugged independence of some people in rural communities. It made them more willing to accept help.
They are very proud people, especially the farm community over here. And they always were like, you know what, I'm not old enough. I don't need it badly enough. I'm not poor enough to access emergency food. So when everything became to go, they kind of had an opportunity to try out our services without their neighbors all sort of seeing them.
People who need services more willing to use them. That's a good thing, but it also puts that much more strain on the system. In that latest UW and Wazoo food assistance survey, Spokane County topped the list with the highest percentage of respondents reporting very low food security. Eric Williams is the community partnership director at Second Harvest Inland Northwest, which is based in Spokane. The organization serves 26 counties in eastern Washington and northern Idaho. Eric says there are major benefits to being a food distributor in a bountiful agricultural region. Donations often come in from local farms.
Some directly from producers. Sometimes they usually call ahead of time and somebody will show up with here's a semi-load of potatoes.
But the challenges of feeding far-flung rural communities are steep.
Just the area. If we were a state, there'd be 19 or 20 states geographically size-wise that would be smaller than us. So it's a very large area to cover. Just getting to the folks who are in the rural areas, it's a real challenge. Like everything else, well, not only have food prices gone up, but so have diesel prices. So those create challenges. In the survey you mentioned from WSU and UW, it also points out that there are real additional challenges for our friends and neighbors in rural communities.
And what are we talking about beyond the transportation costs? I imagine there's an issue with the lack of internet connectivity, awareness of services. Do you also see service hesitation or reluctance to take advantage of food assistance in rural areas?
Yeah, no, unfortunately, some people have a fear or a stigma of, you know, reaching out and saying, yeah, hey, I went to the food pantry, I went to the mobile market. And we try to do everything we can to overcome that barrier. For example, at our mobile markets, the only questions we will ask is, say, are you here to pick up for one family or two and maybe get some age ranges of people? But we don't ask for any other identifying information to hopefully reduce the stigma. Basically, our criteria is if you or someone you love is hungry, we're going to do everything we can to get you food.
Hmm. Everything is more expensive right now. Anybody who shops for their household groceries can tell you that. How is your operation handling price increases? How is your inventory these days?
Well, our inventory is down about a third, and that's because myriad reasons, including inflation. We're part of Feeding America, and that helps us with some extra buying power. But again, proportionally, those bulk costs have gone up basically the same amounts that if you go into the grocery store. So when the experts were telling us all that, oh, hey, inflation is transitory, the food pantries, food banks who we work with, the people on the front lines, they said, no, it's real, it's here, and it's hurting people.
Have you had to make operational changes because of the expensive prices of food?
Yeah, and it's not only the expensive prices of food, but yeah, we had to make some real tough decisions on some operational changes. We have reduced the number of partners who we actually deliver to. And the main reason we were finding that with food being down, the availability of it being down, we were sending semi-trucks out on long runs to all corners of our area, and the trucks were maybe a third or a quarter full. So we've changed our model two things. One is we're working to establish hubs, and we've established four so far, say up in Colville or just outside of Colville. And folks will take a semi load there regularly, and then the regional pantries will come and pick them up there. And the other thing that's done is help to free up our semi fleet. We've got five trucks. And again, rather than having them doing long runs, maybe a quarter full, we were actually missing out on some food availability, farmers or processors would call and say, hey, if you can be here today or tomorrow, we can give you a semi-load of this or that, which is great. But that's all that adjustment has really helped us free up that fleet to be able to go pick that food up.
You have to be more nimble in order to be able to take advantage of those donations.
Yeah, like so many other things, we've learned a lot from the pandemic and then also from the increased need from inflation, et cetera, that you're absolutely right, Libby. We need to be more nimble, and we are very much always looking at how are we going to tackle these things. For example, going to the hub model, part of that came, we had thought a little bit about it, but that very much came from suggestions from some of the remote pantries who we were dealing with. And Because in December and January, we had to pause deliveries, and that was really painful, not only for us, but also for the people, again, on the front lines. We did not have enough food to do all the deliveries, and it was costing us $1,000 a time we'd fill up the semi. So just, again, there's in food banking, there's seldom one reason that prompts you to do things or change things. There, unfortunately, now and for the last several months, there's been many things conspiring together, high diesel prices. Now, why gas prices have tapered off a little bit, diesel is still really high. And so just a whole bunch of other things. And every once in a while, you just got to kind of look and say, okay, how are we operating and how can we be more efficient and continue to get food to folks?
So I'm hearing you say a third of your inventory is what you're down compared to a usual time this year. Now, emergency SNAP benefits just ended for 500,000 Washingtonians. That means their food stamps are going to run out sooner. They won't go as far at the grocery store. And more folks, we assume, will be depending on food banks. Have you seen an effect yet, or are you bracing for that effect to come tumbling down on you?
Yeah, yes, it's already hit. In fact, I was just in a meeting with a lady who is with one of our partner pantries and then was on a phone call yesterday with others. And they're seeing their numbers, again, at the very local level. The lady today said they normally get 500 a week, and they're at about 900 people a week. So it's already hit in Washington. And we knew this was coming. This was pandemic response money, the plus up on SNAP. But knowing that it's coming doesn't make it a whole lot easier to work with. So we're doing everything we can to get more food. For example, two of my colleagues in another department are working half to two-thirds of their time on food sourcing because that everything else we do is kind of moot if we don't have the food. And then we also hired a new person specifically just to go out and search for food along with our food procurement team, a new person in Pasco. So, because it's just more difficult. Food is not only more expensive, it's more difficult to find.
Yeah. What can people do to help if they're concerned about getting food to the tables of their fellow Washingtonians?
Yeah, you know, we're often asked, which is a better donation, food or money? And that, right now the answer is yes. Food donations are fantastic. A relatively small amount of the food that we distribute comes from food drives. On the other hand, food drives really help us with variety. And we are so fortunate, again, to be in an area that is just very bountiful. The farmers and the producers and the processors are just super generous. But when their production is down, they have less to sell and thus less to donate. And you can always go to our website if you want to make a food donation. There's a portal there, money donation. Volunteering really helps us. We're actually making some other adjustments in terms of being able to handle more bulk product, and we rely on volunteers very, very much, and we're making some adjustments here at our Spokane facility to realign things so that we can maybe, for things that we have to buy, we can buy them in bulk, and then volunteers will repack them, say, into one-pound bags or whatever is the best to help distribute to people.
Yeah, something that's going to fit on the shelves at a person's house. Eric Williams is the Community Partnership Director at Second Harvest Inland Northwest. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Soundside. This show is only possible because listeners support us. If you're able to give right now, please check out the show notes for a link to donate. And don't forget, you can listen live on KUOW 94.9 FM Seattle at noon and 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday, or anytime online at KUOW.org.